are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here, solo again after, I hope you guys enjoyed last week's Ultimate Division crossover. I was with Corbin Smith and Brad Motter and Bo Brock of Locked On Seahawks, Rams, and Cardinals. We had a great time all week talking about the NFC West, looking ahead to the 2020 offseason and the season. Made some predictions, some too early predictions, and I think we're going to do it all again probably late June before training camp sometime. The dead period of the offseason, check back in with the rest of the division and see how things went this offseason, see how if things went as we expected and who got better, who got worse over the course of the next few months. So look out for that Ultimate Division NFC West crossover that we will hit again before training camp. And a big week coming up this week. Today I'm getting into this Monday mailbag and got a ton of questions to get into. I'm keeping it strictly only off-season questions as we're getting so close now to the combine coming up. Then there's free agency a couple of weeks after that in March. So, man, this off-season really coming quick after a Super Bowl, because when your team's in the Super Bowl, suddenly things jump up on you in the offseason. And I would have been so far into draft coverage and preparation at this point in the season, like I was last year and for whatever the last 5-6 years, now still a lot of work to do. So working hard on that, but we will get into some prospects this week. Specifically, we'll talk wide receivers with my guy, Eric Crocker, former NFL, AFL cornerback. His specialty is wide receivers and defensive backs, and he's done some work on wide receivers. He dropped his top 10 receivers on Twitter. So we're going to get into that, talk wide receivers on the show tomorrow, look at team needs at that position, maybe look a little bit at the cornerback position, preview that, but I'll probably try to get Crocker on again at some point before the draft and talk corners and safeties. We will be covering all these positions multiple times. Tomorrow will be wide receivers with Eric Crocker. Got a Winky Wednesday coming up, and it will be the traditional Winky Wednesdays all off-season long now. Nick Winkler, my guest. And then Thursday, I've got Brad Spielberger. You might know him from Twitter as @BradOTC from OverTheCap.com. We're going to talk salary cap stuff with the 49ers and look ahead at free agency. So if there's any specific cap stuff you want to know about the 49ers or any free agents out there, let me know, and I'll try to pass those questions along to Brad Thursday. And by the way, you can contact me on Twitter at BDPeacock. That's where most of these questions are coming from today. You can also email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. You can find the show on all of your favorite podcast apps and LockedOn49ers.com. Let's kick this thing off with Daniel. He says, what do you think the value of our first round pick should be? A third, a fourth? Should we trade down with how few picks we have? Thanks for the question, Daniel. Yes, I do believe the 49ers should be trying to trade down. There are some other ways, and we'll get to that in a second. I do see some questions about potentially adding picks in some other ways. But right now, the 49ers have a pick at number 31 overall at the end of the first round, and then they don't pick again until the fifth. 2 fifths, 1 sixth, and 2 seventh round picks this year. That's a long time to wait. I would be surprised if the 49ers don't draft in the second, third, or fourth rounds. And the best chance they have of gaining some of those picks is to trade down from their pick in the first round. So depending how far they go, I think they could absolutely add a third or a fourth round pick to that second rounder that they will be dropping down to. And it depends how far down you go for what else you're going to get along with it. But most likely, I mean, if they just went down a couple of picks, I could see you just get a fourth, you know. But if you're going down into the second round and you're going a handful of picks or more, you're definitely going to get a third along with that second round pick and maybe multiple draft picks. It's difficult to know, though, because you don't know. I mean, there will be some conversations before the draft. I'm sure teams will be calling around, trying to put out feelers, see where they could move and what it might cost. But you never know how the draft's going to go. You don't know who's going to be there when you're on the clock at 31. And the other teams don't know either. Maybe there's a team that comes calling. Maybe nobody calls. Maybe nobody wants that pick. You have to be prepared to draft at 31. You do all this work, and you might have some second, third, fourth round picks that you like, but you might not get a chance to draft them if you're not able to move down. Some other teams might be looking to get up, and then the guy doesn't fall that they thought would be there. Or maybe the 49ers didn't expect a player to be there that they love, and nobody blows them away with the offer. So they think, you know what, it's not worth moving down because we want to draft this player who we think is a legitimate first-round player. At the end of the first round, you're getting into territory where there are not many first-round caliber players that teams have graded as first-round players still left on the board. A lot of teams usually have only around 20 first-rounders, which seems odd because you're putting a first-round grade, which is a grouping of 32 that you already know. It's not an arbitrary number. Why would you put a first-round grade on someone who's not regulated for 32, right? I've always thought that was a weird concept. I understand a number grade, and then a number is a number, but saying it's a first rounder, you know there's going to be 32 picks in the first round every year, so you should change your draft board if every year there's only 20 first rounders. Change what that means, because you know there's going to be 32 draft picks in the first round, right? But anyway, you don't know. You don't know what the offer is going to be. You don't know which team it is, so how far down you're going to go. For example, let's say the 49ers get an offer 10 picks later, so that's pick 41, which is the Cleveland Browns. And if you use the old Jimmy Johnson trade chart, which is a good starting point, but everyone has like a little bit of a different chart. And I know there's some other charts out there that have been changed around for what more trades actually, you know, to reflect what actual trades have happened in recent years. But it's pretty close, and it's not a bad place to start with the old Jimmy Johnson trade chart. And you know what? I will actually pin it because I've put it up on Twitter. I'll make it my pinned tweet. If you find me on Twitter, at BD Peacock, you can find the trade chart. It's got the 49ers picks highlighted. You can see what they're worth, and you can get a pretty good gauge of what it might cost for a team to move up. So it's an algorithm that starts at pick number one overall worth 3,000, goes down through the seventh round, and the last pick is worth 1 point. So it would take 3,000. You know, it's obviously not perfect. If someone had 3,000 picks at 245, they could move up to pick number one with those 3,000 draft picks, 3,000 seventh rounders. But for the 49ers, pick 31 is worth 600 points here on the old trade chart. And pick 41, 10 picks later, is owned by the Cleveland Browns. I don't know if the Browns would want to trade up or not, but I just picked 10 spots later. That's 490, so 110 points worth. And what pick is worth 110 points? Well, that is a late third rounder around number 100 overall, give or take, you know, 95 to 100 or so. That's where the chart says that would cost to move up 10 picks is a late third rounder. So depending on what picks the team has, the Cleveland Browns, they have a pick at number 90. And that would actually be a little bit of an overpay compared to this chart value for the Cleveland Browns to go from 41 to 31 and also give up pick number 90 late in the third round. They do have two third rounders. So the Browns actually make some sense for a team that has some extra picks. Maybe they would be looking to move up. Maybe they want to get in the first round and draft a player. So that's probably what you're looking at for the 49ers, to drop down into the second round, into the 40s somewhere, maybe gain a third round pick. That seems like a smart move, a prudent move for the 49ers. We'll see if the offers are there. We'll see how the draft falls for the 49ers come April. But yeah, the 49ers, I think, will absolutely be fielding calls. Will they get the calls? Will they get the offer they want? Who knows? And unfortunately for the 49ers, they've painted themselves into a corner here where they need to add some depth to this team, and they might lose some key free agents. They need to, and if you're going to be good for a long time, we've seen it with the New England Patriots. How are they good? Well, they continue to let free agents go, find the highest money deals they can find elsewhere, and they keep trading down in the draft, adding draft picks. The 49ers don't have a bunch of draft picks, so that's one thing they're doing differently right now than what the Patriots had done. And you need a lot of picks because you're not going to hit on all of your draft picks. So if you're only going to hit on half of your draft picks, you want to have a lot of them so you can try to rebuild the depth on your roster and stay good for a very long time. And since the 49ers don't have any picks in the second, third, or fourth round this year, let's say a team like Cleveland or a team behind the 49ers that are picking high in the second round came calling and said, well, we don't want to give up any extra picks this year, but we'll give you a first next year for your first this year. And for the 49ers, they're in a position where they can't really take that deal because they need some draft picks this year. So they can't just pounce on a deal and say, oh man, let's take this deal from a team who's offering us next year's first. And instead of picking 31 this year, maybe we could pick top 15, top 10 next year because we don't think this team is that good. So they can't really do that either. They can't really take that future draft pick. And usually, in most cases, a pick is worth one round higher the next year than it is this year. So if you're trading a third round pick straight up to a team, they have to give you a second rounder next year for that pick if they're giving you a future pick for this year's pick, which answers a different question I had on Twitter earlier this week. Okay, that was kind of a long answer to that first question. Let's keep it moving here. We've got a ton more questions to get to, a lot of draft pick questions, some free agency questions coming up. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's like blue, the color blue, and chew, because you can chew it. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. That makes a lot more sense to me. For instance, most guys talk a good game, but if you're one and done, Blue Chew can even help your follow-through for round two. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made right in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Let's check in with Soli, who asks, which players should the 49ers move to get picks in the second, third, and fourth? And yeah, so moving down from the first round isn't the only way the 49ers could add a few more picks in this draft. And I think there are some players on this roster that could potentially be on the move that might interest some teams. I don't know if they'd be worth second, third, or fourth rounders, but there is potential to add more picks from the current roster if the 49ers want to wheel and deal a little bit and maybe move on from some players currently on the 49ers roster. Which brings me to the most valuable player that I think the 49ers could trade and potentially get something back that is in the second, third round range. Ferocious Gentleman says, scale of 1 to 10, how likely is it that we tag and trade Arik Armstead for a second and third from the Miami Dolphins? And he says, reference the draft pick trade chart if need be. Yeah, so he mentions the trade chart I mentioned a little bit earlier. Trading, I don't think it's likely that you get a second and third round draft pick for Arik Armstead, but I think you could get a second or third round draft pick for Arik Armstead, which is better than letting him walk in free agency. So the 49ers could put the franchise tag on him that is the non-exclusive tag, and then he could still go out and try to find a team that likes him, that wants to sign him. And if a team just straight up signed him at that point, they'd have to give the 49ers two first rounders. So nobody's going to do that. But if they like Armstead, they want to sign him, they call the 49ers and say, okay, what's it really going to take if we sign Arik Armstead here? Because I don't know if the 49ers are in a position where they can pay that franchise tag money to Arik Armstead. It's going to be $18 million, $19 million. There's been a few different places I've seen some estimates of what the franchise tag number will be for Armstead. And he'll likely get the defensive end tag instead of the tackle tag, although tackles are making a lot more money than they used to as well. So, I mean, $17, $18, $19 million for a 1 year of Arik Armstead, that's a lot of money. And the 49ers, I don't know if they can afford to pay all that to him. That means they would have to lose a lot of things from elsewhere, I think. I think just by letting Armstead go, they can pretty much do everything else they really need to financially. So that's what makes me believe that Arik Armstead and a franchise tag, playing under the franchise tag money, doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, if they signed him long-term, that would bring his 2020 cap number down a little bit, but then you look ahead to Buckner. Bosa's going to get paid a lot eventually, and as number two overall pick, he's not making pennies now. He's still making a pretty good salary, and that fifth-year number will be $15 million for him once they get that far into his contract. And then D Ford, they're already paying a lot of money to. You can't pay your whole defensive line $60 million a year, right? So it gets kind of crazy. You can't pay them all $15-plus million. Someone has to go, and the guy who's first up is Arik Armstead right now, and I think opponents have told the 49ers who the most valuable players are on their defensive line, and they're double-teaming Nick Bosa and DeForest Buckner before they're double-teaming Arik Armstead. And that's not to take anything away from Armstead's season. He had a fantastic year by all accounts. He actually graded out better than Buckner did for Pro Football Focus this year. I mean, he was an animal, and he's a really good player. And I think that's why he deserves to get a lot of money, and that's why I think he will get a lot of money, and it probably will be from another team. So long-term deal doesn't make a lot of sense to me for Arik Armstead, as good as he is. Playing under the franchise tag money for this year, it just seems it would be very difficult for the 49ers to find a way to pay him $18 million for one season. And then you go through all of this again next year anyway. Maybe he gets hurt. Maybe he doesn't have that value anymore. So to me, the non-exclusive franchise tag does make sense. And then they could potentially still trade him. Because let's say that, and a lot of people talk, and I've talked about it a lot, like it's a done deal that you let Arik Armstead walk and then you get a third round pick next year, a compensatory selection. But that's not necessarily the case, because if you let Armstead walk, maybe you sign some other free agents, and then that whole formula they use to decide what compensatory picks teams will get from the free agents lost, it's a formula with who'd you lose, how much money did the guys you lost get, and then what did you sign back? So the 49ers might sign people that would undo that, and so maybe they wouldn't get a pick at all. Maybe they would get a later pick than a third round pick, even if Armstead does sign a big money contract somewhere else. And for those of you who are unfamiliar, there's a lot of people that do some really good work, and they've tried to crack the code, and they can really do a good job of guessing what the comp picks will be. But every year they add basically one full round, so there's 32 comp picks at the end of the year. And those get divvied up in a way that makes sense. And it starts at the end of the third round. You start getting those picks, and then more added at the end of the fourth, fifth, sixth, and a bunch at the end of the seventh round. So it extends the draft one full. So there's basically eight rounds worth of draft picks every year. The best thing they could hope for would be to get a pick at the very end of the third round. So if they could franchise tag and trade Armstead, they could at least get a third rounder that's higher than a comp pick would be. Maybe they get a second rounder. It's exactly what the 49ers did last year in a trading and signing Dee Ford. They gave the Kansas City Chiefs, it was a future second, but they gave them a 2020 second rounder, and then they signed Dee Ford. So maybe they can find a team that's willing to do that with them, give them a draft pick, second or third rounder, which is better than letting him walk and might make the most sense, might be the best situation for the 49ers to find a trade partner, someone that really wants to pay Arik Armstead what he's worth and get a nice day two selection out of it. And then that would make it so you don't feel like you have to trade down from the first round if the right player is there for you, if you're the 49ers at pick 31. And by not having Arik Armstead's contract on the books, that probably allow the 49ers to do everything else they really wanted to and not have to cut corners and not have to cut players they didn't want to cut, and maybe even bring in another free agent that they want to at another position. Jordan asks, what players under contract do you not expect to be back? What players under contract? So not talking free agents. I really do think it makes the most sense to me. I don't know what the 49ers are going to do. I think fans and the 49ers themselves, and you hear John Lynch talk right after the Super Bowl loss. I think everyone right away after the Super Bowl is like, nah, we got to bring everybody back. Let's run it back. Let's do it again. And I think once you sit and stew and think about it, once they crunch numbers and they start looking at, you know, the benefits and the cost analysis, and they start doing their front office work, and Prague's in there crunching numbers, telling them what he thinks about contracts, I think they will start to figure things out and be like, yeah, you know what, let's do this and let's make some changes here, there, and look, keep getting better. Get better if you can. Don't stand pat. Get better. And I think there's potential even to do that for the 49ers. But players under contract that I don't expect to be back, that's tough. I mean, if the 49ers do bring back Arik Armstead and he's playing on, you know, $18 million contract, then they've got to do some other things. And George Kittle is up for a big raise as a fifth round draft pick going into the final year of his contract. So, you know, bonus money. And if they sign him to a new deal, which I'm sure they will really try to do, and who knows, maybe George Kittle doesn't show up to training camp if he doesn't have a new deal. I mean, if you're playing on, it's less than $1 million. What is the minimum right now? Is he making pretty much that, $750,000 or something like that? Who knows? Maybe he doesn't even want to show, maybe he's advised, I'm sure he would want to, maybe he'll be advised by his agents to not show up for training camp until he gets a new deal in case he gets hurt or something like that, because he's in for a massive payday to go from under $1 million a year to potentially $10 plus million a year for George Kittle, it might make sense to hold out a little bit. I mean, if I was his agent, that's what I would advise him to do. I mean, he's definitely the type of guy that probably will not like doing that, but sometimes that's something you have to do. So George Kittle's situation, his contract should go up and his average per year should go up. DeForest Buckner, actually a long-term contract there will probably help the 49ers' current salary cap because he's going to be playing on his fifth year option. Just by signing him to a new deal, they could backload it, whatever. They could keep his 2020 cap number down and then his future cap number would be a little bit higher. But that's something to that could help the 49ers cap. Tevin Coleman is someone that I think at almost $5 million a year that you could save. That would make sense just because I'm fine with Mostert and I'm fine with Breida. You could still draft another running back. I just don't know if it's worth that $5 million if there's someone that needs to get cut. I think Jerick McKinnon's absolutely not coming back under his current contract, so I've already kind of factored that one in. So McKinnon definitely, Marquise Goodwin definitely will be gone, I think. And I didn't even get back to finishing Sully's answer here because we talked about all the Eric Armstead stuff. Sorry, Sully, I didn't finish, but I don't know if a team would want to take on Tevin Coleman's salary, but he's a player the 49ers could dangle first before cutting him if they decided they wanted to go with Mostert as the number one and Breida as the number two and maybe even bring back a restructured Jerick McKinnon contract. I think that Kyle Shanahan's not going to want to get rid of Tevin Coleman. I think he likes him too much, and he was started even in the playoffs over Mostert, who was doing crazy things. So there is, I mean, Matt Breida. Matt Breida is an interesting one. He is a restricted free agent, so his cost wouldn't be huge, but man, he was not a factor at all. Jeff Wilson actually got touches over Breida in the Super Bowl. Is Breida a guy that the 49ers would let walk? Obviously, Dante Pettis wasn't even active. At least Matt Breida had a uniform on. Dante Pettis was a complete healthy scratch. I mean, he's somebody that absolutely, if a team comes with a draft pick, a fifth or sixth rounder, I think the 49ers would jump on that. I don't know if he's in their plans. Especially if they re-sign Emmanuel Sanders or if they find a different free agent wide receiver or if they draft a wide receiver in the first round. Dante Pettis would seem to be someone that they could try to dangle in trade. So there are some players they could try to get some picks for, but Armstead's the one. If they're going to get a second or third round draft pick, it's probably going to be a tag and trade from Eric Armstead. More Monday mailbag coming up here on Locked On 49ers. We're going to talk about what to do with that first round pick and some specific player types that could be out there in the draft. This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. And I can attest to it, going to spring training is awesome for any baseball fan. It's just a fun vacation, fun place to get away, great food. You'll rub elbows with baseball people and broadcasters, and it's just a really cool time. 10 stadiums, 15 Major League Baseball teams, 75 degree temperatures, all 10 stadiums in the greater Phoenix area within 50 miles. Meet the players, get autographs before games, check out the upcoming prospects. One of my favorite things to do, go prospecting, find out who the next Major League stars are going to be. Amazing restaurants, tons of bars, craft breweries, outdoor adventures, and hiking, biking. And you can even check off some must-see destinations from your bucket list, like the Grand Canyon. Bringing the kids along to spring training, Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Horseback rides to games, activities, wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. Renee wants to know, who are some free agents the 49ers should kick the tires on? Well, Renee, it's not going to be an exciting offseason, I don't think, free agent-wise. There is a name that really excites me for the 49ers. But priority number one is going to be in-house, trying to get everybody back. I really think Jimmy Ward's going to re-sign just because safeties don't get crazy money. And if it's the scenario I talked about a lot in this podcast, if Eric Armstead is tagged and traded or the 49ers let him walk, that gives them a lot more freedom, and they should be able to sign everybody else, and they can, you know, maneuver some other things, do what they need to be under the cap, and even add some salary. The Emmanuel Sanders one is very interesting to me because it's not like he was cheap already. He was making $11 million this year, obviously prorated for the 49ers portion because he wasn't with the 49ers all year long. But how inexpensive would a 33-year-old wide receiver be? I don't know if he's going to want to take a massive pay cut. I don't know how much money he could get elsewhere, but he's still a really good receiver in this league, still very well respected, a starting caliber wide receiver. So how much do you have to pay Emmanuel Sanders? Is it going to be that same $11 million? Will that salary come down? I don't know if he's, I mean, I'm sure he'll want even more. Are the 49ers going to pay more than $11 million a year for a 2 or 3 year contract for a 33-year-old wide receiver in Emmanuel Sanders? And if you're going to pay, let's say it's the same contract again for Sanders, and you're going to pay him $11 million, there's a guy out there, AJ Green, that is not that much more expensive. He was 15 million dollars. So he's $4 million more expensive. If Eric Armstead's contract's not going to be on the books, the 49ers could pay that salary if they wanted to go a different route in free agency, wanted to get a different wide receiver, a different veteran wide receiver, someone like AJ Green. And I went back to watch AJ Green because I was like, man, am I crazy, or is AJ Green not an amazing wide receiver that the 49ers should absolutely kick the tires on if he wants to come play for the Niners, if he is someone that has a reasonable salary request? And he missed all of 2019. So like Sanders coming into this year, there's some injury questions with him, and he's a year younger than Sanders. So it's not like he's, you know, a pup, but there should be plenty of good football left for AJ Green. And I went back to watch 2018 tape of AJ Green just to see, and this guy is a monster. He is so good. Like, he is everything you want in a wide receiver. He can separate. So, I mean, he checks all the boxes for Kyle Shanahan. He can get open. You can line him up anywhere you want. He can get open. He can track the deep ball. He's so strong. He's physical. He's a tough guy. He can catch in traffic. He's got such sweet feet. He's got such great hands. It's the feet. His footwork is so good for a tall receiver because he can get open. He can get open short. He can give you a little bit after the catch. He can get open deep. He can do so much for you. When he's healthy, he's absolutely one of the top 10 best wide receivers in the NFL, a true number one. The question is the injuries. I really think that he was actually healthy in 2019, but he didn't want to get hurt playing for the worst team in football in the Cincinnati Bengals before he was going to hit free agency, which is a smart move. So he's actually, I think, is in a pretty healthy situation right now, which the 49ers would find out if they brought him in and he talked to their doctors and had a physical with the team. If you don't have Eric Armstead's number on the books, I think the 49ers could look to potentially upgrade from Emmanuel Sanders to AJ Green. But I do think the 49ers need that veteran presence, and we saw how important it was and how impactful it was when Emmanuel Sanders showed up last year. So if it's not Sanders, it's got to be someone better than Sanders, right? So it's got to be AJ Green. I don't think they're going to go out there and pay Amari Cooper, who's going to probably get stupid money. I think AJ Green, because he didn't play last year, I think he would come in at a contract that's expensive but not insane. And I think the value he could give the 49ers if he's healthy would be ridiculous. But there's questions about his health. He's missed a lot of time the last 3 years, but last time he was on the field, he was still that same old guy, and he is so good, and he's absolutely better than Emmanuel Sanders. Gives the 49ers everything they would need across from Deebo Samuel. It's a name that I don't think is necessarily likely, but if I'm John Lynch, I'm absolutely bringing him in and seeing if it's something that could happen for the 49ers, and there are ways that they could afford AJ Green. Couple more here. George says, if we don't re-sign Ward or Sanders, what comp picks would you expect us to get for them, assuming we don't pick up other free agents? That's the thing, George. I can't really see the 49ers not adding somebody that would cut into those comp picks if the 49ers did let Ward or Sanders walk, and it would depend how much money they make, but if they let both those guys walk, didn't sign anybody, they could probably get a comp pick that's, you know, fourth round. I mean, I have no idea. I'm not the specialist on those comp picks. There's other people that are really good at cracking that code and guessing what the comp picks will be. That's definitely not my specialty. I just know that if you lose one of the biggest big money free agents out there and don't sign anybody, you usually get one of those late third rounders. Let's go to Guy. He says, if the 49ers hold the fort and keep our team together, then pick one becomes more of a best player available. I totally agree with that. I think the 49ers are, even if they lose some people in free agency, I think they're in a position to go best player available, at least at, you know, a few positions, and they could really let the draft come to them a little bit, and they won't be forced to do anything position-wise there. And that's the ideal way to do it, is BPA in the draft, especially in the first round. He says, to me, that would be wide receiver or running back. Do you really think four wide receivers are drafted before pick 30? Last year, DK went at the end of round two. What are the chances of a guy like Ruggs falling? You know what, Guy? We're going to get into a lot more of that stuff tomorrow with Eric Crocker. So tune in. We'll talk wide receivers for that entire show. And let's finish this thing off with Andy. He says, I feel like Kyle is trending towards using wide receiver like running backs and running backs like wide receivers, keeping the defense off balance. Who fits this role in the free agent market and or draft? P.S. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Andy. And yeah, positionless football. The 49ers, I think, do it as good or better than anybody in the NFL right now. They go base personnel, and anybody could run the ball. Anybody could get the ball thrown to them. And I think that's the way Kyle Shanahan likes it. And I think Jalen Hurd was that guy for them last year in the draft in the third round. But I'll give you a couple of names. And since the 49ers draft in the first and don't draft again until the fifth, I'll give you one name for each of those slots. In the first round area, I don't love him at pick 31. Maybe if the 49ers trade down more, the high second round area would make a little bit more sense. But he's a guy that could go in the first round because he's super athletic. Laviska Shenault out of Colorado. And he is super quick, has long speed to go with. Also, size is about 6'2", 220 pounds. There might not be a wide receiver I'd rather throw a screen pass to in this draft class. But he, as far as a route runner and ball skills, he leaves a lot to be desired for me. And the obvious comparison for him is Cordarrelle Patterson. And even Cordarrelle, we saw him get some running back reps recently with the Patriots. I think he's that kind of a player. He could be a kick returner. He could be someone you could put in the backfield. And he's great after the catch. He's fantastic after the catch. And he's a dynamic athlete. But I just don't know if I like him in the first round just because his actual receiver skills are still very raw. But there's a lot of potential there, but for good and bad reasons, he's very similar to Cordarrelle Patterson. And I liked Cordarrelle Patterson a lot coming out, but I think we've seen why he shouldn't have been a first round pick. And I kind of feel the same way about Laviska Shenault. And I'll give you a guy in the day three range, maybe 5, 6, 7 round. I don't know where this guy's going to go, but it depends on how he times, because he's a really big running back. He's like 6'2, 6'3, 227 pounds. Patrick Taylor Jr. out of Memphis. He's a very tall, upright runner. Really good receiver. He can track the ball down the field even, so you can definitely use him. He reminds me of Terry Kirby, ex-49er from back in the day, a tall, upright style of runner who's really good out of the backfield as a receiver, but not a guy who's like a starting caliber running back for you. So I'll throw that name out there for you on day three. Patrick Taylor Jr. There's actually a lot of good receiving running backs in this draft. But more about the wide receivers tomorrow with Eric Crocker right here, Locked On 49ers.